Turn now to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, page 1224 in your Scofield Bible. We'll read just one verse here, and that's the 8th verse, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. Let's read together, please. Ready? Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Turn now to 1 John chapter 4, page 1324. 1324. We'll read two verses here, the 17th and 18th verses. 1 John 4, 17 and 18. Let's read this also together. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Let's pray. Father, once again, unique is our opportunity. We're privileged to be here in this great church. Help our hearts to be prepared for that which You've prepared for perhaps weeks ago. You saw this day long before we experienced it. And You saw what needed to be done. And we pray that we would be simply tools in Your hand to see that whatever You want done today will be done. Help us to be instruments of blessing. Help us to hear. Help us to do. And bless our preacher in Jesus' name. Amen.
I've always thought he was a marvelous singer. But I think I found the secret. Did you hear that accompaniment this morning? There may be some hope for me after all. Could you see me after service, please? I'd like to see if that'll help me some. I want to speak this morning from two passages. You'll not turn to them. One is that amazing passage in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8. Love never faileth. And then the other, I read for you, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. I want to speak this morning on the subject, perfect love never faileth. I hope you'll listen as we bask in the sunlight of the love of God and as we bathe in the pool and drink from the fountain and eat from the table of the love of God today. Our Heavenly Father, I marvel, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how He could love me, yes, us sinners condemned unclean. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Thank You for the love of God, that perfect love. May the people give me a hearing this morning, and I promise I'll try to listen to You and tell them what You speak to me. In Jesus' name, amen. There were three words in the Greek language originally that were translated love. Those of you who know Greek know immediately what those three words are. I'll not go into the Greek words. But each of these three words were caused by the object of love. And each of these three words could be doused or diminished or lessened or quenched by the change of the object. For example, one of those loves deals with romantic, physical love. We which means that love could stop if the object is no longer as attractive as it once was. One of those loves deals with a love for a person's disposition or a fondness for a person's demeanor. That love could be doused or erased or lessened or quenched if that person became less attractive. So all three of these words in the original Greek dealt with the subject that were caused by the object. So there had to be another word invented to describe the love of God. Because the love of God is not caused by the object of the love, it's caused by the heart of the lover. The others could stop. Now I'm talking about there was a time when there was no word for a perfect love. The others could stop. The others could fail. The others could have lapses of time. The others could faint. The others could lessen. The others could decrease. The others could change according to the attractiveness of the object. However, these could not be included in a definition of God's love. There must be a word that would describe a love that does not stop, a love that never fails, a love that has no lapses, a love that cannot faint, a love that never lessens, a love that never changes, and a love that is not partial. So another word was invented, and that word in the Greek language, as you well know, is the word agape. The word agape was not originally a part of the Greek language. But here is a word invented because no word in the Greek language could describe the love of God. And that love is perfect love, the Bible says, and it never faileth. Now, all of the above are included in that term, never faileth. It means that God's love, this perfect love, cannot stop. This perfect love cannot fail. This perfect love cannot have lapses. This perfect love cannot faint. This perfect love cannot lessen. This perfect love cannot decrease. This perfect love cannot change. That means that God's perfect love is always the same. That means if you're good, He loves you. If you're bad, He loves you. That means if you live righteously, He loves you. If you fall into sin, He still loves you. And the love never wavers, never changes, never lessens. It's always the same. So His love cannot stop. God loves you when you're living for Him. And God loves you when you're living away from Him. And He always will. God loves you when you're serving Him. And God loves you when you're not serving Him. And you cannot do anything about it. God's love loves you, and He always will. God loves you, street person up there in the mezzanine this morning. God loves you with those who had perhaps a rock or a box for a pillow last night. God loves you. And He always will. And there's nothing that you can do that can keep God from loving you. He always will love you, for perfect love never faileth. God loves you, mission man, with nights you would like to forget and days that you would like to relive. God loves you with a perfect love, and He always will. I'm so glad that God loves me when I feel good and when I feel bad. God loves me when I am good and I am bad. God's love, a love, that word that had to be invented to describe the love of God, a perfect love. God loves you, fallen one, a slave to unholy passion. God loves you, atheist, in spite of your disbelief and your doubt. God loves you, fallen woman, whose skirt sends forth advertisement, and He always will. God loves you, skid row occupant, as you search for a cigarette butt in the gutter, and He always will. God loves you, rebel student, with the word expelled stamped on your record, and He always will. There's no one in this room this morning that is separated from that love of God, that perfect love, that love that cannot stop, that love that cannot cease, that love that cannot be interrupted, that love that cannot lessen, that love that cannot decrease. God loves you. God loves you, prodigal boy, whose parents' eyes are stained with grief, and He always will. God loves you, unwed mother, as you wonder where your baby is now, and what maybe the baby's name is, and what it looks like, and He always will. God loves you, O.J. Simpson, with a twice bloody knife held tightly in your hands, in spite of what you've done, God loves you, and He always will. God loves you, mother, who gave permission for the murder of your unborn and had a part in plotting the murder of flesh of your flesh and blood of your blood. You've committed an awful sin, and you're guilty of murder, but God still loves you. And God loves the wicked doctor who took his scalpel and murdered with his own hands. You murder somebody a day before he's born, that's okay. Murder somebody a day after he's born, that's not okay. But in the sight of God, you're as much a murderer as if you'd murdered somebody who was 25 years old. But I have good news for you. God loves you. And God wants to forgive you. I was talking to a man not long ago, and I said, God loves you. But he said, you know what I've done? I said, Bible says, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. But he said, I've taken these hands, and I've murdered. I said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I'm simply saying, you can't go deep enough to get too deep for the love of God. And you can't go far enough to escape the love of God. This perfect love never stops and never fails. God loves you, homosexual, in spite of your wicked lifestyle, and can straighten you up if you'll but let Him do so. And He always will. God loves you, David, with Uriah's blood dripping from your hands. He still loves you, and He always will. God loves you, Gomer, the wife of Hosea, who left your husband and three children for a life of whoredom and spent your life out yonder selling your body to lustful men for merchandise. God loves you, Gomer. He loves you in the house of prostitution. He loves you as you sell your body for merchandise. Oh, let me tell you this morning, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is His love for me. I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of His love in the book He has given. Wonderful love in the Bible I see, and this is the dearest. Jesus loves me. He loves you, Jacob, 20 years away from the will of God, and He always will. He loves you, thief, on Calvary, dying and being crucified, dying justly on a cross. He loves you, and He always will. He loves you, Rahab, stained with the money in your coffers from selling your body. He loves you, Rahab, and He always will. He loves you, Magdalene, with your tenfold possession of demons, and He always will. He loves you, woman of Sychar, living with a man not your husband, and five times divorced, and He always will. He loves you, Zacchaeus, with your filthy lucre charged to your account, and He always will. He loves you, Peter, with curse words of denial still warm from your breath, and He always will. He loves you, Noah, as you lie in a drunken stupor, and He always will. He loves you, addicted to the narcotic demon, and He always will. He loves you, Jacob, the world's crookedest soup salesman, and He always will. He loves you, God loves you, Samson, as you visit a woman, a barber, and sell your power for a scent of perfume or myrrh, and He always will. I'm trying to tell you this morning that you sit there in your righteousness, or sit there in your sin, or sit there in your doubt, or sit there in your belief, wherever you sit. I don't care if you sit in the seat of the mission man, or sit in the seat of the homeless, or sit in the seat of the lost kid, or sit in the seat of the saint, or sit in the seat of the sinner. There is a God in heaven who irrevocably loves you, and He cannot help but love you with a perfect love. God loves you. Kennedy family, with broken bones, broken lives, and broken hearts, caused by your dirty liquor business. But He loves you, and He always will. God loves you, Hugh Hefner, as you bring the morality of a nation to its knees, and nobody in this world will face the judgment of God quite like Hugh Hefner will. But if Hugh Hefner will walk down these aisles this morning and say, I know I'm a sinner, I know I'm lost, and I know that Jesus died for me, and I'm trusting as my Savior, the love of God would reach down and wash away every sin that Hugh Hefner's ever committed. It's an old story. Over here where the sailors meet, used to be a new dancing place over there. Forgot the name of it. So have you. What? Seven Seas. Some people know the name of that old place and have memorized it. Used to be a less about a block and a half from where I stand right now. We used to go over and pass out tracts as they walked in that new dancing place and pass them out as they walked out. That man hated me like nobody in the world ever hated me, I guess, and hated me like he said never hated anybody. But one day, suddenly, that place closed up. We didn't know why. Several weeks later, I got a phone call as I left the office to go to the airport. I received a call back. When I got to the airport, I sat down in the airport in a payphone booth, and I called, and the fellow said my name, and he called his name. He said, for years, I ran the Seven Seas Lounge over here. He said, I never hated anybody like I hated you. All those gospel tracts, he said, I would go home and curse you every night and tell my wife I'd like to kill that man. But he said, one night I went home and I said to my wife, that fellow's getting through to me. And he said, I fell to my knees and I got saved. He said, now God's called me to preach the gospel. That man who ran the Seven Seas Lounge is now a gospel preacher pastoring a church somewhere in West Virginia, I think. I'm simply to say, I don't care if you run the Seven Seas Lounge. God loves you, and God will forgive you. I don't care if you got those stains of blood on your hands of taking somebody's life. He loves you, and He always will love you. God loves you, lonely sailor, thinking of home today, and He always will. God loves you, weary truck driver, as you steer your traveling tank, and He always will. God loves you, Abraham, as you go into sin and father an illegitimate child, born out of wedlock, and He always will. God loves you, bus kid who wonders where your daddy is and what he looks like. He loves you, and He always will. God loves you, deserted wife, and He always will. And God loves you, deserting husband, and He always will. God loves you, whoever you are. God loves you, wherever you are. And God loves you, whatever you are. And it cannot stop. It will never be, God once loved me. It's impossible. It will never be, God used to love me. It will never be, God doesn't love me anymore. Oh, but you say, preacher, you don't know what I've done. See, you're so used to loving that which is beautiful, and loving that which is lovable, and loving that which is loving, and loving that which is love, you can't comprehend anybody loving that which is unlovely, but you better thank God He loves everybody unlovely, because none of us is lovely in the sight of God, and none of us is righteous, and none of us is good. Hallelujah! We bask in the sunlight of the mighty, perfect love of Almighty God. It cannot lapse. He doesn't love you when you're good and stop when you're bad. It will never be God doesn't love you now. It will never be God will love you again someday. For sin cannot interrupt the love of God. And doubt cannot quench it. And disappointment cannot stop it. And rebellion cannot douse it. It never lapses for a while. The love of God never lessens. It will never be His love has grown cold. It'll never be He doesn't love me as much as He used to. His love cannot change. He doesn't weary of you and love you with a cheaper love because you're not as good as you once were. By the way, you can't do anything to change the love of God. You can't say anything to change the love of God. You can't be anything to change the love of God. You can't go anywhere to change the love of God. When I think about this, it's not a part of my sermon. I think about Todd Moffitt. Todd Moffitt was a boy that grew up in First Baptist Church, went to our Hammond Baptist schools. Todd Moffitt was my buddy and my pal. But Todd Moffitt went into sin. He got him a motorcycle, and he went everywhere in the country could, I guess, committed every sin. He told me, he said, I guess there's no sin I haven't committed. If I find out, I wanted to find out what it was, and I wanted to commit it too. Todd Moffitt got that motorcycle and rode all across America. He slept on the streets like some of you fellows have. Had to go to rescue missions like some of you fellows did. Todd Moffat was sitting one night in a tavern in St. Louis, Missouri, listening to me carefully. And Todd Moffat asked himself the question. Long, shaggy hair. A beard, you couldn't even recognize who he was. And Todd Moffat asked himself a question. Does anybody in the world love me? Get me. Does anybody in the world love me? And Todd Moffat said, yes, there is. Brother Hiles loves me. You know why Brother Hiles loves Todd Moffat? Because Brother Hiles has been bathed in the same love that God gave to for himself, for you. And Todd Moffat said, yes, Brother Hiles loves me. Gets up, walks out of the tavern, gets on his motorcycle, and comes back to Hammond, Indiana. I walked out of my office one night late after counseling. Had my coat over my shoulder, walking down the hallway, and I looked up and I saw a despicable-looking character. He said, don't you know me, Brother Hiles? I said, no, I'm sorry, I don't. He said, my name is Todd Moffat. And I said, Todd. And I hugged him. And I said, I love you. And Todd said, Brother Hiles, I was sitting just a few hours ago in a tavern in St. Louis, Missouri. And I'd come to the end of my rope and I asked myself, does anybody love me? And he said, I saw your face before my eyes. And he said, Brother Hiles does. And I said, you're right. You say, preacher, you mean you love these kids when they get in trouble? Well, of course I do. Why? Because God loves them when they get in trouble. Todd Moffat got right with God, bought him a suit of clothes, and got him a haircut and shaved the beard off his face, and even won a soul to Christ. It cannot change. Now listen carefully, I got some good news for you. That love that is from God, that perfect love, that love for which there had to be a new word invented for its description, its name, that love is available to me. You understand? That means I can love like God loves. Because He offers to give to me that same kind of love. I love you this morning, and you can't help yourself. If you're my enemy, I love you, and you can't do anything about it. If you don't love me, I love you, and you can't keep me from it. I love you this morning. I love those who have grown to hate me, and you cannot stop it. I love those who once sat in these pews and left. But the one thing they can't do, they can't keep me from loving them. I love those who with bloody pen have tried to destroy me, and they can't do anything about it. I love those whose tongues have become swords to defame my character, but they can't do anything about it. I love the arsonist who destroyed in a one day what it took us 2 years to rebuild on this corner, and he couldn't do one thing about it. One morning about 1 o'clock, I think it was Miss Proper called me. I think it was. Somebody called and said, Brother Hiles, the buildings are burning. We had just built this half right here of this building a few weeks before. We dedicated it. There's a building sitting over here, an old building, very old, and then a building in between this, where the education building now is. The old auditorium was there. That building was burned to the ground, and this building was burned to the ground, and the new auditorium was stained with water and smoke. You couldn't even see back to the back from standing up here in the brand new auditorium. Sunday morning after church, Miss Hiles and I took a trip down to the Hammond City Hall, the jail. We asked if we could see the arsonist whom they'd caught. We walked in, and that arsonist who had burned our buildings and destroyed half of the buildings, the first thing I said was, son, I don't know you, but I love you. I love you. I love those who have fallen or jumped into sin and ruined your conscience. I love you and you can't help it. I love those who have smitten me with unjust lawsuits. And I love you and you can't help it. I love you and it cannot be stopped. I love you and it cannot be changed. I love you and it cannot fail. I love you and it cannot faint. I love you and it cannot lessen. I love you and it cannot lapse. I love you and it cannot fall. I love you and it cannot be quenched. I love you and it cannot be interrupted. I love you and it cannot leave. I love you and it cannot cease. I love you and it cannot end. I love you and it cannot reduce. I love you and it cannot be aborted. Why? Because God not only loved me, but He let me have His love with
with which I can love you.
I do not love you because of what you are. Nor do I love you because of what you have. Nor do I love you because of what you do. Nor do I love you because of what you've done. Nor do I love you because of who you are. Nor do I love you because of whom you know. Nor do I love you because of where you are. Nor do I love you because of whose you are. I love you with a love that cannot be harmed by tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword or death or life or angels or principalities or powers, the things present, the things to come, the height or depth, nor any other creature can separate you from my love, because it's his love that flows through me toward you. Dr. David Gibbs once said, I wish this were true, but this is what he said. He's introducing me to speak one time, and he said, you've never been loved. I said, you have been loved by Dr. Jack Hiles. I'm sorry, but I don't have that kind of love. But I borrowed a truckload of it, and I've taken it from heaven's bounty and delivered it to those whom I love. That's one fear I have. I'm 71 years of age. If I live till August 30th, I will have pastored this church for 39 years. My love for you has been enriched. My love for you has been seasoned with 39 years. It hurts me to realize that one of these days, in a few years, somebody else will stand here who doesn't know you. Please don't misunderstand me. But the thought of a man coming in here to pastor this church and someone like Mrs. McCarroll dies. And he can't love her family like I do. That thought just scared the fire out of me. Hey, I got some news for you. This perfect love, a love for which there was no word to describe it, and a new word had to be invented by God and the Greeks to describe the love of God. This love that cannot be doused, this love that cannot be quenched, this love that cannot be lessened, this love that cannot fail, this love that cannot fall, this love that never faileth. I said never faileth. This love not only is available for me, it's available for you. A love that cannot be tainted by selfishness, nor eroded by time, nor diminished by disappointment, nor marred by the object, nor ended by death. David had it, and loved Saul, who tried to kill him. Hosea had it, and loved his wife Gomer, who had left him to become a prostitute. The father had it, and loved his prodigal son, who took his portion and went into sin. Joseph had it. His brothers tried to kill him, and finally decided to sell him and make a profit on him for 20 pieces of silver. Stephen had it when he said, lay not this sin to their charge, as he was dying at the hands of men who had just stoned him. Jesus had it when he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to have that kind of cheap little old piddling love that I don't love him anymore. That's not Bible love. Then I've lost my love. Not the perfect love. You don't have to have that cheap Hollywood kind of love that's either sensuous to the body or sensuous to the mind. You don't have to have it. I'm saying the mighty, perfect love of Jehovah God and His Son, Jesus Christ, is available for you. I'm so sick and tired of couples coming to my office saying, I don't love him anymore. Then you never did. Well, my love has grown cold. Well, it never was warm. Real Bible love. You can have the kind of love that doesn't make you mad every time somebody offends you. You can have the kind of love that doesn't is not quenched when somebody mistreats you. You can have the kind of love that does not quench when somebody does something you don't think they should do, or somebody hurts you. Why don't you get on your knees and say, oh God, let me love as you love, and give me that mighty love of God. A little orphan boy was in the orphanage. Back in the days when couples would come to orphanages and choose a child to adopt, little orphan boy was in the orphanage, and a couple came. And every little boy there hoped that he'd be the one chosen. This couple picked out this one little boy and took him home. The first day he was there, his new mother gave him a glass of milk to drink. Little boy held for the first time in his life a big glass of milk. He drank it half of it, and gave it back to his adopted mother. And she looked at him, and a tear rolled down her cheek, and she said, "Son, you can drink it all. You can drink it all. You're not in the orphanage anymore. You don't have to share it with anybody else. Drink it all. Drink it all. Drink it all. You're not a heathen anymore. You're a Christian. Drink all the love of God." And God offers to give you that love. Come to love's fountain and drink. Come to love's table and eat. Come to love's fragrance and smell. Come to love's beauty and see. Come to love's music and hear. I'll tell you why our church is split. We got the world's kind of love. I'll tell you why our marriages are falling apart. We got the world's kind of love. I tell you why there's hatred. I tell you why Christians sue each other in court. You got the world's kind of love. But bless God, there's a love in this book that God has given, that perfect love that cannot be stopped and cannot be lessened and cannot be quenched. That love is the love by which you are loved by Jehovah God and His Son, Jesus Christ. I'm saying two things this morning. That love is to you, and that love is for you. Accept it this morning if you're not a child of God. Look up and say, "I cannot turn down or reject that kind of love." If you are a child of God, go to your bedroom and get on your knees and look up and say, "God, I'm tired of this synthetic, cheap kind of counterfeit love. Give me a love that's not caused by beauty. Give me a love that's not caused by senses. Give me a love that's not caused by appetite. Give me a love that's not caused by favor. Give me a love that's not caused by kindness. Give me a love that cannot be quenched, for perfect love never faileth." Come every soul, thy sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord. He will surely give you rest by trusting in His Word. He loves you this morning. "I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of His love in the book He has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me." He loves you. Would you bow your heads, please?